We serve at the pleasure of the commissioners. We're appointed by them. If they don't like us, they can fire us. So far, we have avoided that. But we do this out of, well, there is a small stipend, but it's really,
it's really
kind
small.
Of a civic duty, and some people donate and some people spend it on beer, I guess. But anyway, do we have a full board? Oh, no. Okay, we only got four tonight. All right. Oh, that's good. We could have a tie. If such case happens, we continue to the next month, but I highly doubt that'll happen. We always seem to be able to work things out. Tonight, we have only special exception cases. We hear three other kinds, but since we don't hear any of those tonight, let's get to the specifics to a special exception, which basically, because of the Pritz case, we are charged with approving most every special exception that comes down the pike, because you have to prove that it is worse here at this specific location than anywhere else in the district. Awful high standard to meet, but we can put restrictions and
conditions.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't know the word there, so on them to mitigate or lessen the impact of the proposed use of the property. If you don't like our decision, we'll probably make a decision tonight, but we have 10 days. But again, we'll probably do it tonight. If you don't like our decision, you can appeal it to the circuit court, and you got 30 working days to do that. I'll finish my paper. I'm gonna pull up my phone and turn it off. Hope everybody else does the same. Silences that. What else am I forgetting? The procedure we follow, this is a quasi-judicial hearing. We swear in witnesses. We'll hear the applicant's presentation first, and then those in favor, and then those opposed, and then the applicant have a chance to rebut in the end. We, like I said, we'll have our deliberations later on this evening. You're welcome to stay and listen to those, and we'll probably have a decision this evening. Like I said, we don't take any more testimony after the hearing, though. We don't take any during the deliberations. All right, what did I forget? Anything? Close enough. Let's get to it. We'll start with the reading of the notice for the hearing. Bruce will do that.
Okay, the first one is, since we're going to switch off there, we're going to go with special exception 472, an application submitted by Hugh Umbel, Legacy Home Corp, for MB Vacations, LLC, for a special exception, 8-bedroom transient vacation rental unit. The property is located at Lakefront Links, Swanton, Maryland. Tax map 59, parcel 611, lot 47 and 48, and is zoned Lake Residential 1. The second application for special exception is by John Kyle P. Newsom and Christy A. Spicknell Newsom for a special exception for an electrical power generating solar array. And that property is located at 3573 Sand Flat Road. Tax map 66, parcel 76 and 506, grid 14, and is zoned Lake Residential 2.
Any letters, comments?
There are no letters.
That's good. Who's here to present that case? You said I hear that was you. Come on up and we'll swear you in. Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give from an application or a special exception for the Deep Creek Watershed Voters Zoning Appeals, the truth, the whole truth, so you swear or affirm?
I do.
And name and address for the record.
Yes, my name is Lisa Goodfellow and my address is 417 East Oak Street, Oakland, Maryland.
You're representing the applicant, Mr. Umble?
I'm representing MB Vacations LLC and Hugh Umble of Legacy Homes.
Okay.
The application basically is for lots 47 and 48. I brought some additional, that it's a little bit better to look at. Okay, and what it is MB Vacations would like to build an 8-bedroom home. The one difference we're doing is combining two lots. Lakefront lots 47 and 48 are going to be combined to become one building lot, but in the status of the HOA is still considered two lots for like dues and things of that nature. However, the one house will basically straddle both lots. Okay? I put the rental names and the number of bedrooms of all the properties that surround it. And there's actually not a single property. It's all basically the demographics are all vacation rentals. The one thing that we are doing is by combining the lots and putting one large house, is we're reducing the density by one lot. I mean, theoretically, it was approved as two lakefront building lots. But we're just combining it to become one. Are there any questions that you would like to know?
Well, we need to hear the testimony of the regular stuff that's required for that. And no complaints on it? You've told
No, all the adjacent neighbors that received letters regarding any comment are basically the same owners of vacation rental property. So the demographics are there that support it.
You met all the parking requirements?
Yes, our homeowners association, even prior to planning and zoning, putting a regulation through the TVRU system, our homeowners documents do require one parking space for every bedroom. So it is required because the subdivision itself does not want cars on the street.
Question, gentlemen?
Do we forego the series of questions that are normally answered because the house has yet to be built? I don't know how we can. I mean,
You go ahead and ask whatever questions you want.
Okay, so there's a series of questions. They're in here, right?
Yeah, well, I was kind of looking for them. Under special exceptions, though. Where are they?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh. Bruce, what section's a special exception requirement?
Page 116.
What's that?
116. Page 160.
160 on the page. You can go ahead and read those off, Bruce. Bill?
Sure. Okay. Some of the issues that need to be addressed, Lisa, is for us to pass this, that the proposed use and location be in accordance with the county's comprehensive development plan and consistent with the spirit, purpose, and intent of this chapter.
Yes, it is.
And it's suitable for the property in question, designed to be in harmony with and appropriate in appearance with the existing and intended character of the general vicinity.
Yes, it is.
I think some of that is answered just in view of this. I had some questions prepared for you as well, and the map certainly addresses. You've got appropriate homes. Yeah, and you've got multiple 8-bedroom and homes right within the same neighborhood, and I'm certain within the same would be found in throughout the whole community. Suitable in terms of effects on road traffic safety with adequate access arrangements to protect roads from undue congestion and hazard.
That's why our homeowners association documents have always required one parking space, even if it's a 3-bedroom house. They have to have 3 parking spaces and 8 bedrooms commensurate to 8.
Right.
I assume that's what you were looking for.
That's what I was looking for, yeah. Got to have answers.
Okay, we don't have any mobile homes in the area. We don't need to worry about
those. And we're very strict on trash.
Bear-proof container. Bear-proof stuff, I guess.
And property management, well, I see TaylorMade on here. Has that already been arranged? I saw a letter in here or one of their notices. Has it already been arranged to be managed by TaylorMade?
The owner is still, I'm not sure if it's 100% with one agency versus the other. Because okay. Rentals is kind of separate, so totally separate department, entity, mm-hmm. and so forth. He would work under a property manager, yes.
And that always helps to have someone to go to with noise ordinance problems. Trash is always a big deal.
Right, because we have an on-site superintendent.
For the community?
For the community.
Oh,
he does sleep in his home in Oakland.
Didn't say what site.
Does the HOA... Does the HOA have any particular noise ordinances that are, you know,
yes,
enforced?
We have an 11 o'clock at night noise ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people outside, music, and so forth, because we follow that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the number one complaint in any rental area, but it's strictly followed there. And
and I'm sure a home with an outdoor pool, as I see in the plans here, you've got a pool planned for the area.
Yeah, it's an indoor pool.
It is indoor, okay.
Yeah, actually, we prohibit outdoor pools. The reason is it does add to the noise factor.
Anything else?
No, sir.
Anybody else want to speak in support? Anybody want to speak in opposition? Anything else you'd like to say?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on to the next case. We'll read the particulars there, Bruce.
The next case is the solar array field. This is submitted by John Kyle Newsom and Christy Newsom for electrical power generating solar array on Santa Flat Road.
I'm Kyle Newsom, I'm the landowner, and I just wanted to say that...
Wait a second.
You just swore in.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was looking at the paperwork here. I need to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give in this application for a special exception for the Deep Creek Watershed Board of Zoning Appeal, truth, the whole truth, so you swear or affirm? And are you speaking to...
I am speaking, but I'm here as land use counsel on behalf of the applicant and the property owner, so I don't think I necessarily need to be sworn in.
You're a lawyer, right?
I am a lawyer.
That's
yes.
all I need to know. You don't have to be sworn in. All right. So, that's it for now. All right, go ahead. Name and address for the record.
Kyle Newsom. Address is 3573 Sand Flat Road.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that real quick that this company that is here today that's going to show you everything, I reached out to them. So there's other companies that have been approached me over the past 8 years about doing something on my property, and I just haven't liked certain things like other companies. And when I decided that I wanted to proceed with this, I did a lot of research on my own and tried to find the most reputable company doing this stuff that I could find. And so I want to say that I do think that they're a very reputable company, but I can tell, and I've enjoyed working with them so far. And their plan that they're going to present also fits very well into what I see as a good long-term plan for my property. I'm going to let them go ahead from here and just outline everything that I'm going to
do. No, I'm just curious. You alluded to the company you're working with now, and it's probably not even pertinent, but I'm curious. What kind of put them above all others that approached you?
Honestly, there's a lot of companies that had a lot of when they would say they wanted to do something, but their timelines for doing it just didn't make any sense. And I felt like a lot of the companies that were approaching me were just trying to lock the property up to get another company to come in and take over and do the work, and you would have no control over what was going to be done. And ultimately, I wanted to find a company that was good to work with, that could listen to what my needs would be, and, you know, if I'm going to live there, obviously I want it to look as good as it can possibly look as well. So that was a big concern of mine. There was another company that I was talking to that I reached out to as well, that their attitude wasn't as receptive to my needs as they've been. So they've been easy to listen to working with me on, you know, this design that's here has really been a design that has worked from my input to them.
Oh, wow. Okay. And how close will your home be to the array?
My home is here.
Okay.
You've still got a good distance there.
Yeah. And Kyle, this is on a lease basis, is it not?
Yes.
And how long is the lease?
25 years, I think.
Yeah.
And then 25
plus potentially an additional 20, I think, or 15.
So, yeah. I don't know exactly, but it's like 25, and it can be extended multiple times.
Up to 20 more. 20 more years.
Yeah, I think it's 20 more years.
Okay, thank you.
So there are options on the original lease.
You want, go ahead and.
Yeah.
Council, come on up and tell us.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Newsom. Again, I'm Ben Wexler. I'm a land use attorney with the law firm of Windows and Blocker in Annapolis, I think. Collectively, the three of us probably put more miles on our vehicles to come up here than we typically do for a special exception hearing, but we're happy to be here. I'm going to try to keep our presentation relatively brief. I'm sure that you guys would much rather hear from Mr. Werner and Mr. Speakman than to hear me drone on for ages and ages. So feel free to ask questions. If you are curious about anything, we've got two of the, you know, kind of the best civil engineers and best solar developers in the state. And we're here to be as open and transparent as we can. So please, if you have questions, if there's something that I'm not covering, feel free to interrupt me and we'll have a conversation about this. So I'd like to call Mr. Greg Werner.
Are you going to call both of them?
I'm going to call them one at a time, if that's all right with you.
Well, I just swear them in together.
Well, I'll swear them in together.
Save a little time, though. You solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give in this application for special exception before the Deep Creek Watershed Board of Zoning Appeals the truth, the whole truth, so you swear or affirm?
I do.
Both have indicated yes. Name and address for the record.
My name is Greg Werner. My business address is 5335 Wisconsin Avenue, Northwest, Suite 440, Washington, D.C., 20015.
My name is Dan Speakman. I'm with McCrone Incorporated that is at 107 Chesapeake Boulevard, Suite 104, Elkton, Maryland.
Okay, go ahead and.
All right, I'm going to start with our witness from Washington, D.C. before we go to Cecil County. So, Mr. Werner, who are you here on behalf of today?
The applicant, Elkton Semper Solar LLC.
And what or who is Elkton Semper Solar LLC?
So, it is a wholly owned subsidiary of Nexamp Inc., which is my employer. It's a project company that will own this project for like projects 25 to 45 years, and it'll be co-owned by Nexamp Inc. for that time period.
Has Nexamp Inc. done other projects? Where?
We have. We are finishing up a construction of a project in Queen Anne's County that'll be very similar to this one. Right now, it's about a couple weeks away from being done. And our company has also done well over 100 megawatts of solar projects in Massachusetts and New York and a little bit around. And each of those, so each project is, I'll say, average size 1 to 2 megawatts, so maybe 50 to 75 projects in the Northeast.
What states do those include for your projects?
So Massachusetts is the big one. We have a few in New York and a couple in Rhode Island.
And what is Elkton Semper Solar relationship with the landowner, Mr. and Mrs. Newsom?
So Elkton Semper Solar LLC is the tenant under a 25 to 45 year lease, and Mr. Newsom is the landlord of the LLC.
Okay.
And it's our ground lease.
Okay. And that's a ground lease of the property known as 3573 Sand Flat Road in Oakland?
Correct.
So can you kind of describe generally what Elkton Semper Solar's interest is with regard to this property, kind of developing the solar array? We kind of want to get into some of the specific engineering issues with Mr. Speakman, but just kind of at a very high level, if you could describe what type of work you intend to do there.
Sure. So we intend to build the solar project that you can see on the plans. So this is our business model. We are a community solar developer. So we acquire land typically through leases. We occasionally buy properties as well, but usually leases. And so we will build the projects. We are typically the prime contractor, general contractor for the project. And then we co-own it with our investor for the life of the project and sell the electricity to anyone in Potomac Edison territory, although Garrett County will be the focus. But anyone in Potomac Edison territory who pays an electricity bill can be one of our customers, and we will sell them electricity from this project at a guaranteed discount for the life of the project. I'll skip the sales pitch. I won't give that.
But how much of a discount? What's the minimum discount?
So our standard structure right now is 10%. That could vary. I'm not going to promise that, but that's what we're planning to offer basically on our other project and on this one.
Okay. When you say that this applicant intends to be the long-term owner-operator for the life of the project, once again, how long is the life of the project?
So it is a minimum of 25 years. That's what the community solar program is, a state law that allows for projects like this. And that law says that Potomac Edison has to let us operate for 25 years. We would like to operate much longer than that because we've built the project and we'd love to get as much use out of it as we can. And so the lease goes from potentially up to 45 years total.
So the equipment you're installing, what's the useful life of the equipment typically?
It is about 40 to 45 years. I mean, it's a tough thing to estimate with a great deal of certainty, but the panels themselves and the racking system, the industry has settled on about 40 to 45 years as the projected lifetime. There are individual components like inverters that only last 10 to 15 years, but those are the boxes that you see, so those will be replaced during the project.
And the inverters are used for the conversion?
Yeah, exactly. So solar panels produce DC current, and obviously the grid is AC, so we have to convert it to AC.
About how big is the property as a whole?
I am actually forgetting the total acreage. I think, is it 140-ish?
Yes.
It is. Okay.
Okay. Ask Mr. Newsom.
Yeah.
It was just shy of 100.
Right. Yeah. And what area is the lease interest that you have?
So our lease area is going to, as you can see in the site plan, it's going to be on the southern boundary of the property. It actually our road will run over the other parcel that Mr. Newsom owns, but our project will sit on the southern boundary of the one parcel.
And it's going to sit fairly far back from Sands Flat Road, is that correct?
Correct. It'll be, I don't know the exact distance, probably 200 or 300 yards.
Right. Do you know the zoning district that this is in?
Lake Residential 2.
And it's your understanding that solar facilities are considered to be electric power generating plants under the code?
Yes.
And that to permit that use, it is by special exception only?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about the kind of generally the construction and operation of the facility. I suspect this is probably on a whole lot of these facilities in Garrett County. So kind of what are you planning to do on this 14 and a half acres?
Sure. So it'll be, so it's a 2 megawatt AC solar project. So that means it's actually about 2.6 megawatts DC, which is, so the panels that will be roughly 7,000, I think the exact count might be on our plan set, but it's roughly 7,000 individual solar panels, which are about 2.5 feet by 6.5 feet. They will be mounted on what we call single-axis tracker systems, which are big, long segments of just that are mounted on a single spine. They're oriented north-south. They rotate through the course of the day, hence the tracker name. So they face east in the morning, straight up in the sky at noon, and then face west in the afternoon. And so it'll be about 14. It'll actually be slightly less than 14 and a half acres once it's all said and done. But for now, we're trying to permit and lease an area that's that big because we don't know exactly where it'll fall within it. But it'll have a 7-foot chain link fence around it. It'll be accessed through an access drive. You can see in the drawing. There will be a locked gate in front of it, so that no one can get into the project without a key.
How the racking system? How is that attached to the ground?
They're driven. They're basically galvanized steel posts about, I don't know the exact dimension, but about 6 inches in diameter, that are pile driven into the ground with the tractor that drives these into the ground. So there's no concrete footing, there's no hole that's dug in the ground. So once those are driven in, then you mount the beams, which is sort of an octagonal tube, basically, that runs down the spine, and then the panels are mounted on top of that.
The height of the panel when it's at the 12 o'clock noon position, how far from the ground would that be?
I honestly don't know that, but I know that the top edge at its, when it's tipped up, the very, very highest point of the panel that the system will ever get is 6 feet 9 inches. Okay. So it's probably more like 4.5 feet at noon. It's about that.
Okay. So the plan is that regardless of the attitude of the solar panel, the fence will be higher?
Correct, yeah, exactly. That fence is just for general security purposes. It's high relatively high voltage electrical equipment. You don't want kids playing there and stuff.
While we're kind of talking about the height of the panels, we'll make sure through the building permit process, that they are configured in a way that you don't have an issue with snow cover so that you can still move freely.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm forgetting exactly what the low side will be, but they rotate over the course of the day. So they actually shed snow pretty effectively. It's a glass surface, so snow falls off pretty easily. We look at the snow data, the publicly available data about annual snowfall in a particular location, and then once we get into the detailed construction drawings, we work with the racking company to figure out, to design the system specifically for the conditions on the site, both the terrain as well as the snow, wind, all that stuff.
So your company, have you had experience with these types of facilities in other relatively snowy areas? Have you had any issues?
Yes, we have had experience with them. As I said, we're finishing construction right now, and most of our projects are in upstate New York, Massachusetts. Obviously, we get a lot of snow. Apparently, not as much as here, actually, but they do get a lot of snow, so we're quite comfortable with working with snowy conditions.
So I talk about kind of impacts on the neighborhoods. I want to talk about traffic first. You talk about traffic during the construction period and then after the construction period. What's traffic like during the construction period and how long is the construction period?
So the construction period is all told between breaking ground and turning the system on and walking away. It can be roughly 5 to 6 months. The height of the real activity is compressed into about a 2 to 3 month time span during that period. The number of vehicles that we'll have during that 2 to 3 month period, there will be roughly 20 to 30 workers on the site at its peak. There will be individual vehicles for those personnel. There will be some trucks that bring the panels and the racking system and stuff like that. I don't have an exact count for those, sort of the daily traffic for those trucks. But you can sort of get an idea based on the scale, probably no more than a dozen per day or something at the moment.
And after that active construction period, once you flip the switch and you're operational, what kind of traffic loads are you expecting at that point?
So there's effectively zero traffic after we turn it on. We will work with a local mowing contractor to cut the grass twice a year, and our operation and maintenance team will come out to the site at least once a year just to visually inspect the equipment. And of course, if something goes wrong, our O&M team will also come out to make repairs. But that would be less than 10 trips per year.
So if nobody's there, how do you know if there's a problem?
So we have an internet connection that gives us remote monitoring capabilities. So our operation maintenance team is based in outside of Austin. They have computer screens that monitor the production of these systems on a constant basis, and software that effectively triggers an alarm if there's an anomaly with the production. So it's all computer and internet-based monitoring system, so we don't need to actually watch the panels.
Typically, what type of issues would cause that kind of reaction?
There aren't many issues. I mean, panels do occasionally fail. I mean, when you have 7,000 of them, strange things can happen. Inverters do fail. And
is there a consequence of that, of any danger?
No, there's no real danger. It would that inverter would stop producing, and they would notice in Boston. They would say, "Whoa, this inverter just went offline. What's going on?" And so we would. We would likely use what are called central inverters. So it's a big steel box. It's I don't know the exact dimensions, but a little bigger than a refrigerator. And so we'd have to come out and replace an inverter like that. So that's a pretty big, those are obviously expensive pieces of equipment. So that, but as I said, those are sort of the weakest link of all the equipment. So we expect to replace those within 10 to 15 years.
So you indicated that there's gonna be a security fence, chain link security fence. Is there going to be any other screening around the exterior of this facility?
Yes, there will. There will be a vegetative screen, a row of trees and shrubs that will be on the eastern and long northern boundary of the project, just outside of our fence. And that will effectively screen the project from both Mr. Newsom's residence as well as Sandflat Road, including the higher portion of Sandflat Road, up the hill a little bit. As well, the land actually sort of crests at the northern part of our project and slopes away, so there's sort of some natural screening that the terrain accomplishes.
So would you say that the topography of this site would make this use generally less impactful on this property as opposed to other properties in this zone?
Yes, exactly. We like this site because it costs us money to plant these screens, so we try to keep that to a minimum. And in this case, we have, more than half of this project is naturally screened by the surrounding trees and property, which is good for us.
Will there be any noise impacts once construction is done?
No. The panels themselves are completely quiet. The inverters emit a very low hum that you can hear if you're standing right next to it, but not if you're 100 yards away.
Any lighting, security lighting, things that might be?
No, there will be no lighting whatsoever.
Okay. Any other impacts of the surrounding neighborhood?
No, I mean, the construction, there will be some activity during the construction period, but once it's up and running, people are going to forget that it's there, frankly. It's going to be invisible, just a dirt road.
So what happens at the end of 25 to 45 years when you need to kind of turn off the switch, and what happens at the end of it?
So we have a decommissioning obligation that's built into our lease with Mr. Newsom, and we have a detailed decommissioning plan, which is to effectively remove the panels, obviously remove the wiring, take all the beams away, pull up the posts, and smooth over the ground to return it to its original condition, and it could then be farmed just like it currently is.
And does NextAmp have the capital to stick around for 25 to 45 years and make good on those obligations?
We sure do. We are, so our company, as I said, we have well over 100 megawatts of projects currently in operation. So those are, the combined value of those assets is quite substantial. In addition, we are majority owned by Mitsubishi Corporation, which of course is a large manufacturing company.
You indicated that it is the company's plan to be the long-term owner-operator. Does that differ from other solar developers?
Yeah, so we're a bit unique. Kyle was sort of alluding to this earlier. We, a lot of developers will try to develop a site like this and then sell it to an investor who would then hire an O&M contractor to sort of take care of it for the 25 years. We are a bit unique in that we do sort of the A to Z of the whole process. We do the very beginning of the development work. We do the construction, and then we do the operation. We do the financing. We have we partner with banks for some loans. We use equity from Mitsubishi, and we co-own the project with them for the entire life of the project. So there aren't many companies like us that do sort of all one-stop shop for all of those services.
Their full life cycle for this facility.
Yes, we're there for the whole duration.
Excuse me, sir, I have a question. Sure. The road that accesses, you said that, you know, the fencing itself is going to be locked. There's going to be a gate that's going to be locked.
Correct. Yeah.
How about at the beginning of the road? Is that closed off as well?
It actually will be in this case. It'll be a, I think what's called a logging road gate. It's a vehicle gate, so mm-hmm. someone could walk around it.
Sure.
But in terms of vehicle access, there will be a locked gate right at the top of the driveway mm-hmm. by the road.
I see your support infrastructure here for the power lines and stuff. Where does it says overhead line, where does it go from there? And what's the visual impact of that?
So so there are, I believe, like 4 or 5 utility poles that will be owned by Potomac Edison that you can see in the drawing there, and those connect to the this. You can see the sort of the straight line there. That's mm-hmm. The power line
right here, I think.
That we anticipate will be interconnected.
Do you want to indicate that?
Yeah, sorry, sure. So this sort of bare patch in the trees, that's mm-hmm. the existing power line. The 5 or so poles will be located right here next to our driveway. They will be connected to one of these existing utility poles overhead. They will be connected to each other overhead, and then they will drop down right here, this last one, and they will continue the rest of the way to our project underground. So it'll be trenched right next to the road, all the way to the site. And those will be basically right up against the tree line right here. Poles.
Well, and I'm sure Kyle can confirm this. You've picked one of the windiest places in Garrett County that I've ever seen. And I will tell you, I was born and raised in Massachusetts, and now I've lived out here for only full-time about 8.5 years. This is the only place in my life that I've seen him use a road grader to clear the road of snow. So it's going to be it'll be an interesting project for you. I hope you're able to come back often and see it.
Yeah, we are aware that the terrain here is different than Queen Anne's County on the Eastern Shore, which is...
Yeah, it's also different underneath, you know, and I know it's a ground project, but
yeah.
You're going to put those posts in the ground there.
Yeah, yeah, we'll do a geological testing before we start, but stuff like that is, frankly, affects our costs.
Yeah, it does.
But it doesn't, overall, we'll still move forward, but
sure.
It'll just be a little more painful.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's just a lot of wind.
Yeah.
Sand Flat is a difficult road because it's hard to keep open and cleared because that wind just...
That's the thing.
It must be you blowing out the window, Kyle, because it comes right across the street.
All the snow from my farm
ends
up in Sand Flat River.
It does.
and off the field.
When they were doing that with the road grader, they were trying to build a snow fence with snow is what they were doing. And it worked. They did a good job.
Yeah.
But it's quite a road. I mean,
Ideally... We don't plan to really plow that road.
No.
We're basically just going to try to not come here.
I know they've improved this over the years, but what about the glare?
Yeah. So there are some type of solar projects that are mirrors that reflect light at a heating tower. Obviously, that's a totally different technology. So these are solar photovoltaic panels, and they're basically, instead of bouncing the light off, they are sponges that are trying to absorb as much light as possible. So in the same way that your cell phone screen has that special glass that is non-reflective, these panels have a non-reflective coating on the surface as well to try to let in as much of the light as possible so that they can be used into electricity. The result is there's very, very minimal glare on these panels.
We do have two large solar panel projects in this county.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
And that's one of the things that worried me as a pilot. I don't want that stuff in my eyeballs.
Yeah.
But it's not bad.
It's like somebody playing with a laser.
what's the solar industry's experience with solar around airports, particularly larger airports?
So airports are actually a great potential spot for putting, because they have such large land areas around them, that's usually clear. Denver Airport in Colorado has a large array that's right next to one of the runways. The FAA has strict rules about the ends of the runways, but you can actually put them right next to the runway. So Denver has had that project there for 10 years, and they're trying to do more. Frederick City Municipal Airport is trying to put a solar project on their airport as well.
And have there been any accidents or issues or concerns raised by the FAA in those areas?
No, those are all good to go.
I have no further questions. What do you gentlemen do?
The engineering, is that your job?
That's fine.
Okay.
Who's next?
Well, might as well move on then.
Yep. All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Mr. Daniel Speakman, who has been previously sworn.
I want to meet the guy that's driving the pile driver.
My name is Dan Speakman, civil engineer, registered professional engineer in the state of Maryland, graduated from College Park, biological resource engineer. Don't hold that against me. I've worked on several solar projects permitting. Mostly season panel. My firm has done solar projects across the state. We anticipate complying with every step of the way for your permitting through your land development process if the special exception is granted. The site's not terribly complicated. I mean, this array is to be constructed on a knoll, if you will. So Sand Flat, as you come down, there's a hollow through here, and it comes up to a knoll, and the array really will be right follow that knoll. So that probably will mitigate some of the snow issues, because I've heard it seems to blow off that area.
And I think I have to ask him, so that's a topographic map that you are showing us, Mr. Speaker.
This is a topographic map, that's correct. So that shows the contour of the land. This being the knoll, the higher area, this being the hollow, and then the road follows and comes up grade back up to 219. I'd like to have this included in the record for your consideration of this too. Sure. So
we're all pretty familiar with
yeah.
the area.
Yeah.
Yeah. By there every day.
Well, Steve, why don't you talk to us a little bit about first stormwater management, and maybe you can talk about stormwater management both with regard to the panels themselves as well as the access road.
Right. Okay, so there's two phases of stormwater management. You have during construction, which is basically your erosion sediment control. Mm-hmm. So we'll comply with the 2011 guidance and manual for erosion and sediment control design. So that
that's the MDE manual, the so-called environmental site design manual. Is that practicable?
That would be for post-construction stormwater management. I'll get to that in just a moment. This is for during construction, making sure you don't have a muddy water discharge to Pond Run or anywhere else. But this is also not a mass grading project. Again, these are piles driven into the ground. So you're not going to have a massive earthwork job like you would if they were building a subdivision. This is, you're going to have to strip your topsoil for the install of the roadway up to the site. And they'll come in probably with number two or crusher run and build an access lane, which we will have to provide post-construction stormwater management. That would be the next step. And MDE has provided guidance for ESD to the MEP, which is environmental site design, to the maximum extent practical. They want us to provide enough stormwater management to treat the impervious areas that are created by a project like this. And the specific guidance for solar is that you really can do, especially when you have post-install rather than grade out and a lot of land disturbance, you can actually use the land as it is, the vegetated strips in between these racks, to absorb the runoff from these solar panels. We'll have to look at the grade, because that is a rather steep area, and there are guidances in terms of the allowable slopes and where it is too steep. Sometimes they'll have you install a stone trench to kind of mitigate and absorb some of the energy of the runoff. I do anticipate a structural practice for the roadway, because the roadway will be considered impervious. Even a gravel lane is still considered impervious in the state of Maryland. So I do anticipate having to provide some type of stormwater management structure, maybe a microbio retention, submerged gravel wetlands. We'll see what fits the character of the site best. So we will handle both construction stormwater management and post-construction stormwater management in accordance with county and state regulations.
Well, we're talking about the road. Will this cause any additional entrances to Sand Flat Road?
It will not. They are going to access from a lane, and there's actually a gate. You all stop it. You're familiar with it. There's a, I believe it was a red gate right there now, and it just zooms right over the hill, and it will run right over to the array.
That entrance may have to be upgraded.
And we'll certainly work with you if it would be your Department of Public Works.
It would be the permitting department.
Okay, permitting department. Yes. We'll certainly work with them and comply with any regulations that are relevant to upgrading that existing entrance.
Any impacts on non-tidal wetlands or floodplain?
None that I'm aware of, no. I didn't see anything that would, frankly, too steep for wetlands, it's the highlands, so no floodplain either.
How about impacts to forests or other environmentally sensitive areas?
There's a tree line. It looks like it will be impacted, but that wouldn't qualify as woods. There are no woodlands that I see that would be impacted by this development.
Any electrical hazards? You kind of touched on this with Mr. Warner before, but in your experience, you worked in other facilities like this?
Certainly have.
About how many other facilities?
I personally have worked on two.
Okay. And your firm has worked on others?
Okay. Several, yes. I
are there electrical concerns with regard to facilities like this?
I'm not an electrical engineer, but I have not heard of any electrical concerns. I've heard the question asked many times, but I've never heard of an electrical problem that resulted in a danger to workers or community.
I've heard some of the same things in the inversion process in the transfer of that there's dirty energy impacts within, hundreds of yards of the array? Anything on that?
No, I've not heard that. I mean, I will tell you that they're installing these solar panels on households, you know, right on rooftops. So if there were a danger like that, I wouldn't think they'd allow that.
What kind of voltage are you talking about? After it gets out of the inverter?
I believe the three-phase line that we'll be tying into is a 13 kV
line. That's just normal.
Which is a normal line. Our system voltage, I believe, is 480.
That's,
I'm not sure about
that's
that.
Next to nothing. Then.
Yeah. Types of solar facilities are installed on roofs of schools too, right?
Absolutely. In the close vicinity of children. You see them all the time. In fact, it's becoming very popular.
That's what's wrong with the kids.
It's a major cost savings to their,
right.
to their operations.
Let's talk a little bit, we covered some of the screening visibility issues, but if you could speak to kind of screening visibility and glare issues, I think that'd be good too.
Right. Again, the material they're using, glare is a loss of electrical energy, potential electrical energy, so they need to minimize the glare. Aside from any environmental impact, they don't want to have glare because that's lost revenue, frankly. So they're going to keep that to a minimum. They're also planting a vegetated screen, and I believe they want to specify plants that will make attain a maximum of 20 feet along the northern and eastern portion of the site. They've got a beautiful natural screen around the rest of the perimeter of the site, so they don't need to.
With them going to 20 feet, what's the plan for the origin of planting? How high would they be? How high would those plantings
be? Well, I think we'll probably have a good mix of fast growing. In the past, I've seen where you'll specify some larger caliber trees mixed in with some fast growing, like Leland cypress, that type. Obviously, I'm going to need to check and see what's best.
Grow here, yeah.
Correct. I will admit I am not a landscape architect, specific to Garrett County, but that's easy to look into.
And the specifics of landscaping plan will be worked through the building permit process, right?
Correct. Yeah, we'll follow the guidance that Garrett County has, and then also we'll use our best engineering judgment.
I think you need to make a mandate or a rule that they need to first buy some pine trees off of me from the try and see if that works.
At least you know they grow there.
So Mr. Speakman, are you familiar with the Garrett County Comprehensive Plan?
I am.
And you're familiar with the special exception criteria that any special exception needs to meet to be granted?
I have read through that, yes.
All right, well, I'm going to try to run through the same set of questions relatively quickly. So in your expert opinion, Mr. Speaker, is this facility consistent with Garrett County's comprehensive design plan and consistent with the spirit, purposes, and intent of the zoning code?
I believe generally it is, yes.
Generally or specific?
Well, specifically, I am unable to find anything specifically that would not be consistent.
Is the facility suitable for the property in question and designed to be in harmony with the appropriate appropriate in appearance with the existing or intended character of the general vicinity?
I believe you can say that, yes.
You think it's going to be particularly visible from Sand Flat Road?
I don't think in years when that buffer is grown and thick, I don't believe you're even concerned.
Okay. Is the facility suitable in terms of effects on road traffic and safety with adequate access arrangements to protect roads from undue congestion and hazards?
It's not going to generate any traffic, so I don't believe it's going to have any impact on traffic. During construction, obviously, they'll have to put 30 trucks in a day, and a standard entrance is not.
And the entrance will be upgraded to whatever code requirements are.
Whatever code.
Is the facility consistent with the orderly growth of the community as expressed in the Garrett County Comprehensive Plan?
Yes, I believe so.
Will the facility increase the number of people residing or working in the immediate area concerned?
I don't believe it's going to have any impact whatsoever.
Will it exacerbate traffic conditions at the facility? Well, do you believe there will be any impacts on the peaceful enjoyment of people in their homes?
I do not.
And
you heard Mr. Newsom indicate that he's not going to be adversely impacted either.
Right, it's his property.
Right. And in your opinion, will the facility interfere with the conservation of property values?
I don't believe it's going to have any impact on property values, as it's not going to be seen.
Do you believe that the facility will cause odors, dust, gas, smoke, fumes, vibrations, glare, or noise that could impact the use of surrounding properties or the values?
Not from my experience, no.
Will the facility be consistent with the appropriate use of land and structures?
Yes, I think so.
Will it be consistent with the decisions by the courts, including the Schultz v. Pritz and Baltimore City versus Loyola College decisions?
To my knowledge, yes.
Thank you. And will it be consistent with the purposes of the Garrett County zoning ordinance?
Yes, and we will make sure it is.
And my final question for you, Mr. Speakman, will the facility have any impacts in the vicinity where public gatherings may be held, such as schools, churches, or the like?
I don't believe there are any in that vicinity.
I have no further questions for Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Do you have any questions for me?
I just noticed these letters on here. What are these?
The uppercase and lowercase.
So those are soil types.
Mm.
The state has mapped all the land in the state and has designated
she
different soil
it.
Types. That could tell us general information, but realistically, that you know they're going to need to run geotechnical testing to figure out what they need to do.
What's the nomenclature of the lettering for big rocks?
I have my concerns that there may be. I look forward to seeing the results.
I'd be very surprised if you didn't find a couple.
Yeah,
I've heard that. The soil at my farm is really big.
Is it? Is it really?
Yeah, because being that I was at the dirt bikes for so long, I dug all over that thing, building jumps and you know all that stuff. So
that's good.
You know every rock on that farm. I know them all. Even their kids.
I still think the engineering is going to be a bit of a challenge. Of course, don't like to have certified engineering drawings, but it might put a big wind load factor in there.
I would make sure that that's passable. I'm not a structural engineer. I'll be doing the land design.
It's just it's breezy.
Lightning protection.
It's breezy.
The panel's in a, there's like a storm mode that they can go into where they
because
they
never
lock
know
in
what
a flat
the
position
mm-hmm.
so the
longevity
the
of that is. And do you want that trash laying there at the end of the day?
That's good.
Yeah.
And that can
question,
be done remotely.
Concerning end of life, would your company be willing to put a bond in for the end of lease cleanup?
My company would not.
No, I'm sorry, not your company.
Sorry, sorry.
He asked if your company would be willing to put a bond in place.
For decommission?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, if the county requires that, we'd be happy. It's fairly common now mm-hmm. for counties to require those. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have nothing further. Thank you for your time tonight.
Okay.
Anybody against this? Oh, I have nothing for you. Okay. Anybody else want to speak in favor? Anybody else want to speak in opposition? All righty then. Anybody got any other questions? All right, we're going to go into our deliberation time. You said the state would like. We don't take testimony though.